Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the art.
To another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Tonight we got Super Nash.
Super Nash in the house.
Yeah. Yes.
And we got Tiny in the studio.
And back in the studio, Tiny fresh off a Florida vacation of relaxation and enjoyment. It was a really cool vacation. Had a lot of fun. Didn't do a lot of bourbon stuff, but got to see my parents, and that was really nice. They got to see my granddaughter, and it just was an overall really good experience, relaxing. Most of the time when I go on vacation or trips, I fill them up with every single second of activities, and this was one of the first relaxing vacations. My battery is recharged and ready to go, but I also, on Saturday, got to see Super Nash. That was really kind of a cool thing.
Not for a long time, but for a brief parking lot exchange of some bourbon bottles, and then we had a nice dinner together.
Yeah.
At Native Brews in Cherokee, North Carolina.
Yeah, we made it. We made it work. A delicious dinner, and then we did our bottle exchange. I felt like we were doing some sort of moonshining kind of thing, exchanging bottles in the mountains. Yeah, which was kind of cool. Just remember, everybody,
we're looking for the cops to come wheeling in and block us in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was no doubt. Well, no doubt. But that allowed us to me to be able to have one of my favorite bourbons. I've got a sample here, and this is the Colonel Taylor 4-Grain, and Super Nash is holding that baby up right there too.
Yeah.
But just know, one of the really
this is a 2017.
Oh, and we've shared this before. Yeah, it's not like, and 4-Grain hasn't been coming out. I think it only came out one other time since 2017, right?
If I'm not 2018.
Yep.
2018.
Right. So I can't wait to get to that. But we're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. www.scotchybourbonboys.com for all Scotchy Bourbon Boys things. we've got our Glencairn's Super Nash is wearing his Scotchy Bourbon Boy t-shirts. And then also we sell bourbon balls, and we've got our special magnets. Contact me. You can go to the website, or you can contact me direct on Facebook. Send me a Facebook message, and I will work. We'll work to get your merchandise out for you. But also, we are on all the podcast formats: Spotify, iHeart, Apple, ask Siri or Alexis if you know, play it, and they will. But then also remember, we're on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And one of the things I wanted to do for everybody out there on YouTube, we now have not only can you subscribe to the channel, and we've gone over 13,300 subscribers, and we're going strong right now, but you also now there are memberships, different membership levels. But I'm going to throw this out right here, right now. There's three different levels. The first people to get into the three different levels are going to get something extra. You will be the first founding YouTube members, and we are going to shower you with gifts. The lower level, the lower the level of the membership on YouTube, it's not going to be as extravagant as that monthly membership top level. If you subscribe to, or you get in on and become a member on the top level, and then also know that we have super chats. That's way that you can get your comments on our live feeds. And I will have to start monitoring if people start to do the super chats. You do a super chat, your comment will get along, and we will have a discussion on our podcast. Some of the, you know, what would you say? Advantages of being a member. So we're just going to start that YouTube membership, and you just go check us out, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys on YouTube. It's all self-explanatory. I know right now I'm still in the process. It's set up, but it's not set up for how awesome it's going to be. And those first three members that join, we get it. I will definitely be sending out probably some bourbon samples. There's going to be merchandise. There's going to be things thanking you for becoming a part of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys on YouTube.
Hold on a second. I'll be right back. I got to go. Over here to YouTube. I'm fixing to sign up and be one of those first members.
It doesn't count. No.
Some of those samples.
No. Yeah, you could send yourself a sample, motherfucker.
You said you were sending out.
So me sending out samples, you know what that means. You know what that means. Hey, Super Nash. Because I need labels. Hey, print the label and send that sample to this guy. Here's the address. That's why you're Super Nash, right?
That's right.
So we had a really good time. I mean, in our bottle exchange up in high altitude and the cold, you know, after a week of being in 80 degree temperatures, I mean, I think that bottle exchange happened at 27 degrees.
Yeah, it was pretty cold. And those bottles that you got had actually gotten down to about 19 degrees.
Yeah.
And went to an altitude of, like 5,600 feet.
Yeah, we were up there. There's no doubt about it. The J.W. Dant, you're like, I'm not sure where this leakage is coming from. It was coming from the fact that it was cold and it was high altitude. I really think that the change of pressure was like broke the seal. So,
and plus, I didn't realize that box had fell over in her trunk because we took the suitcases out and all that.
Checked
into Harris and then went over the mountain. I guess when I was sliding around some of those curves.
Knock the box over. There you go. But that was a milk bottle J.W. Dant from what year?
1968.
And then there's a Jim Beam decanter
It's like a blue felt bottle.
Yeah, with a Italian art on it. Yeah. It's a you know, and then
1969.
Right, so I can't wait. That's an up and coming podcast for sure, right?
Oh yeah, and I can tell you right now because I've opened up one of each of those bottles, and they are delicious.
Yeah, I was able to stop off on my way home at Burnt Church Distillery. Hello to everybody at the Burnt Church Distillery. That is a really cool place. If you're in South Carolina by Hilton Head, you need to stop off. It is beautiful. Well, you know, everything. And then their whiskey is starting to come into, you know, into its own. They've been up for a while, and that was really cool. And then we also stopped at the James E. Pepper Distillery. I was able to pick up their decanter bottle, their newest one from December. I was able to taste it, and it was spectacular. I had their bourbon bottled in bond, so that. And then I also picked up a bottle at the Barrel House, their Barrel House small batch, also got to taste that. And their limited release that they release every year, was they had that available for tasting too. So got in a little bit of bourbon on that Saturday and Sunday after a whole week of pool relaxation. But that brings us to why everybody's here, right? We are talking... We're tonight are talking four grain bourbons and, you know, adding that extra grain. And then what is a four grain bourbon, right? We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Usually, you know, most mash bills are generally made up of basic mash bills are generally three grains, right?
Yep.
And which is corn, rye and malted barley, right?
Or
wheat.
Or corn, yeah. Wheat, and malted barley.
Those are the four basic grains, and usually. Well, sometimes some distilleries have added, put all four of those grains in there.
Yeah.
And usually the reason is because, like, when you add, like, the wheat to it, the wheat sort of softens the, let me see here where I got it so I can get it right.
Well, normally if you switch out rye with wheat, generally you can come up with...
Takes away some of the spice and the heat from the rye.
Although there are some wheats... You can have some spice. I mean, there's a lot of different things. It's not always the case, but mostly the case, you know. I mean, Maker's Mark is a wheated bourbon, and I never was growing up didn't know anything, but I didn't think it was any less spicier than Jim Beam or, you know, something else I was drinking when I was. So, I mean, there's certain aspects that wheat can smooth it out a little bit or make that spice or heat go away when you're drinking, but it doesn't necessarily always happen that way. But using the rye spice, you definitely, as a distiller, the rye spice, you know, rye bread and rye spice, there's two reasons why. The reasons why, main reason why, is that wheat was being grown for bread. I don't care what you say. It's like it was obvious that rice was hardier, grew in the northern, grew better in the northern colder climates. That's where the rye was coming from. And you could make, but overall, the wheat that was being grown, you know, majority of it was being, you know, ground up and, you know, for flour and, you know, for making, you know, bread and whatnot. Whereas the rye, that did not have the, you know, people weren't making, they can make rye bread, but that wasn't, you know, that's our darker, hardier, richer. And that made sense to use for, you could grow it and then use it for multi-uses. So, yes. Yeah, so.
So when they started using making four grain alternative bourbons, not only did they use the 4 grains wheat, rye, corn, and barley, but also that they started using a variety of range of other grains.
Yeah,
to bring triticale, millet, oats, and just a variety of range of others. Craft distillers are using now, rice,
buckwheat, even. You know, Alan uses the buckwheat. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So and rice, you're right.
Like I say, but 4 grains, and even some others are even doing 5 and 6 grain. But tonight we're talking about 4 grains and the 4 grain whiskeys and bourbons that that we have available and that we already have on hand and have tasted, right?
Right, right. And one of the 4 grains, me and you have 4 of them right now. Now you have the Penelope there, and we both have the Lee W. Sinclair from the Spirit of French Lick, our sponsor. And then I've got Iconoclast and the regular Bottled in Bond. Now, the Iconoclast, where that came in...
I had the regular Bottled in Bond, but I took it back in there because just lack of room on the table here. So I kept the Iconoclast out.
Right. And then you've got... Then we've got the 4-grain E.H. Taylor... And then we have the 4-grain Woodford Special 375 Toasted Oak 4-grain that they released last year in 2023. And then you have the Lux Row 4-grain.
Yes.
Right?
There we go. That's the 4-grain mash bill, double single barrel.
Right.
Bottle.
Yep. And then I have at the moment, and you have the rabbit. We've got the Rabbit Hole Race King. That is a delicious. Now they call it a 5-grain. So I did a little bit of research, and when you're talking about a malted rye and a rye, it doesn't necessarily mean. So you've got in this particular one, you have wheat, rye, malt. You've got wheat. Rye, barley, and corn. And those are the 4. And they go with the 5th one because they use a malted rye. They have a chocolate malted wheat.
Yeah.
I believe it's a double chocolate.
Grain, but it's, you know, rye.
So it was a malted rye, a corn, a double chocolate malted wheat. And a malted barley. Okay. So I think that's what we were dealing with that. So I'll get that out of the way. Okay. Yep. So we've got that now. A 4-grain, like for instance, Alan's 4-grain. Now you've got the Penelope 4-grain also.
Yep. Penelope 4-grain.
And that's really interesting. And so I've heard a bunch of different things. Okay. So there's one thing when you distill it as a 4-grain, okay? So you basically do your cook with wheat, barley, rye, and corn, and then you distill it, put it in the barrel, and age it. Now, there's also, I believe, like a Penelope or the Lux Row, you basically took a 3-grain rye bourbon and a 3-grain wheated bourbon, and you combine the 2 barrels together to make a 4-grain bourbon. So you can either blend it or distill it as far as how you make and come about those 4 grains. We also know that the Penelope is probably a blended 4-grain because of the fact that MGP, it's not like a common occurrence for MGP to have a 4-grain bourbon, right? It's not. Correct. So I would imagine that's what they did, blended it. I'm not for sure, but that would be the case. But we know on the Lux Row, that's what they did on the double barrel. They had a wheat barrel and a rye barrel bourbon and mixed them together. You know, and there's a lot of different things.
I can tell you.
Well, okay. I hope you don't prove me wrong.
And the mash bill for this Penelope 4-grain bourbon is an undisclosed blend of wheated and rye bourbon.
Yeah, that's
so you're right.
Yes. Yes. And the same thing on Lux Row. I think that is that it says a double barrel, right?
And it says, and it, then it goes on to say right down here, the bourbon is a blend of a wheat and a rye bourbon mash bill, which were aged separately before being blended and bottled. The bourbon is aged in barrels charred with a number 4 staves and number 2 heads. And the first batch of Penelope bourbon is comprised of 6 barrels totaling 1,900 bottles.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Honestly, because there's 2 different ways to come up about it. And I'm sure, and that's what I love about 100% what I love about bourbon. There are people that will tell you that when you blend it and it becomes, it's not a true 4-grain. And, you know, that there's all this kind of, you know, controversy that always comes up about it. And I'm not going to say I love the ability to create at both levels. There's no doubt. What Alan did with his Sinclair, and he came out with this, and we got a chance to taste it at when it was just a straight Indiana bourbon, and then we got to taste it when it was bottled in bond. Now, this one, oh, that's interesting. Bourbon whiskey distilled in an just so you know, this is Alan's original straight bourbon whiskey I got here. I don't got the Iconoclast, I'm sure, is going to tell me it's bottled in bond, right? Let's see. Iconoclast straight bourbon, barrel strength, respect the grain. Where did you, does your Iconoclast say bottled in bond? Double pot stilled. It's, so it's 3 units. Does yours? No. So I guess it's a straight bourbon whiskey, right?
Because mine's it's not bottled in bond because mine's 107.9 proof.
And
bottom left corner of the bottle.
Yeah, 107.9 Iconoclast. And then, yeah, except this one is 100 proof. Oh, it's bottled in bond. This one's bottled in bond. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so and this is a straight bourbon, Indiana bourbon, which means it's 4 years. So, yeah. I was hoping. I know I have the original weeded bourbon that he did. I still have that. I still have some of that. And I enjoy that. I know Alan enjoys that too.
I have probably about 4 ounces of that original bottle left.
Okay. Yeah. And so Gary just met. He picked up a Penelope Toasted yesterday. That's excellent, Gary. We are going to, but the ones we're going to taste is the ones we have together. So we've got, we've got the bottled in bond 4-grain Taylor, because all Taylor is bottled in bond, except for barrel proof, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And then we've got the 4-grain. You got the Iconoclast. I haven't opened it. So you taste the Iconoclast, and which is 107, and I'll do the Sinclair bottled in bond. And then we've got the, let's see what this is. This is 90.4 proof, like most Woodfords. This toasted oak 4-grain. I love the toasted oak 4-grain, honestly. And then we've got we'll finish up with the Race King as a 5. So what I find with a good 4-grain is usually you get
you start to deal with different flavors. So, I mean, initially, let's do the Sinclair. What do you got in? What did you pour?
Iconoclast.
Yeah, and I'll pour the Sinclair, the regular bottled in bond. It's 100 proof. Put a little bit in my glass, just a little. I haven't. All right, so this is Lee W. Sinclair, 4-grain bourbon, right there. Yeah, they sell it at the distillery. There's the Iconoclast.
I've got the Lee W. Sinclair 4-grain Iconoclast, which is comprised of 3 barrels.
Right, and this is he goes different because the 4 grains are corn, wheat, oat, and barley. So you've got oats. And honestly, Woodford does an oat whiskey that I actually enjoy. I know that Freddie's used oats in some of his 375 milliliter, expressions. And then, let's see. And then, you know, I do enjoy oats. So having oats in there, this is a wheated oat bourbon, and it really, it adds like a toasty flavor to it. It's definitely got a little bit of like a yeasty bread flavor. With a little
that yeasty bread, you can definitely pick up that barley malt in there too.
So, Veach,
lots of caramel.
Michael Veach, I do have a screen. Let's see. I will share the screen, and for everybody who's listening, I will read the screen. But share screen. All right, there it is. I'm gonna pull up. He tasted Iconoclast, and I'll give you his tasting notes. He picks up brown sugar, dried fruits, prunes, dates, some sweet oak wood, and a hint of baking spices, where his nephew Matt picked up the brown sugar and molasses with some prunes, oak, and a hint of spice also. So he was saying that that was the nose. But then the taste was brown sugar, spice, floral white pepper. I get a little bit of the white pepper. Cinnamon with dried dates and oak toasted with a dried cranberry, and the fruit becomes more of a raisin instead of dates, and the sweetness is reduced to spice, is dominated by white pepper tasted with a pecan, and sweetness becomes French vanilla. I definitely was getting,
I think, get a little bit of the cinnamon.
Yeah. And then I'm just looking, a little bit of vanilla. I'm going to hit this again because I was definitely. All right, we'll get off share screen now. But that. Did I? I think I did, didn't I? Did I? Yes, I did. All right, so there we go. So overall, I find now this, I'm going to try. You pick up very unique flavors. I'm definitely a toasted oat. Then you get a little oatmeal with a little bit of vanilla on it. You know what I mean? Now, my bottle of Lee W. Sinclair has been sitting for a while. And this is not a fresh crack. You're the one who's doing the Iconoclast. I'm doing just the straight Sinclair, which, Alan keeps on taste profile, you know, where the Iconoclast is that.
Iconoclast way back when we did the.
All right.
I mean, way back before Christmas. I want to say around Thanksgiving or before that.
I'm going to pull out I'm going to break out the Iconoclast. You guys are talking cinnamon and baking spices, and I'm getting fresh bread. And, you know, the reason why
Alan did the Iconoclast is because he wanted to do a smaller batch, and he took those unique barrels that had weren't on flavor, on profile. They were the off profile barrels. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Now I'm going to get the difference between a three barrel batch and a larger batch that he produces, so that he can distribute. Where this is, and you know, when he did the Iconoclast, he did the whole social media, how people were paying $1,500 a bottle. Remember that?
Yeah.
5 year MGP. Okay. Cardinal Spirits. Ooh, Matt Nathan saw that Cardinal Spirits is, I believe, no, that
the Party Source store pick. Yeah.
Is that Ed? No, what spirits is Ed? It's got the picture, but I got to remember what spirits. Okay. That's a big difference. I taste the brown sugar and the cinnamon. So this is like a cinnamon roll added into Iconoclast. I mean, added into Lee W. Sinclair. That's delicious.
Oh my gosh. That's where that vanilla frosting is coming in.
Yeah. Vanilla, cinnamon frosting, and then also. Cinnamon,
yeah. Because it's bready, yeasty, bready.
Mm-hmm.
Up front. And then it.
With brown sugar.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm picking up that brown sugar. I'm picking up the cinnamon. I'm picking up the toasted bread. That's a delicious pour.
Yeah, it is.
I was thinking of putting this up, and that would have been stupid, because this bottle should be drank. That's a good bottle. And I always go back. I can't wait. Matt's on. Cheers, that's for sure. And then, all right. So, what you find in these four grains is you're going to find different flavors a little bit more so, because you've got all the grains mixed together. And it's like, so you got a four grain like this, and it's wheat and oats. But what happens if you do this four grain with oats as the major, you know, it's an oat bourbon. You know, you switch it around.
Speaking of which, let's move on to the Woodford Reserve.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to the Woodford Reserve. All right. This particular bottle is one of my favorite bottles of 2023.
A lower proof. It's down to 90.4 proof.
Right. Whereas the 100 and 107, but I bought another bottle. I got the full bottle. I went through this fast. If you look at my bottle, my first bottle. I enjoyed the shit out of this. All right.
This is an undisclosed blend of corn, rye, wheat, and malted barley.
So you got by putting rye second, that means it's the secondary. Oh, and then, but it's toasted. So you do get that reddish color. And it's like, oh my God. The first thing in the nose is buttered caramel corn.
Oh my gosh.
Buttered caramel, like first you get the buttered popcorn and then a caramel in there. That smells so delicious.
Such a unique nose.
Mm. When Greg talked, wow. Wow. That's all I could say about that one. I mean, those four grains bring out some flavors. Tons of brown sugarish. Like, if you dipped caramel corn in some brown sugar, wait, that flavor there,
Isn't butterscotch? I got to remember what that flavor is. It's a specific flavor. Is it Cinnamon Toast Crunch? It's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I get that rich brown sugar cinnamon. I that's like
brown sugar, cinnamon, molasses.
I think I would love.
Oh my gosh. This is like, I could pour this on like fresh homemade buttered biscuits.
Matt is saying that he likes that he can find Woodford on the shelf. This isn't, Matt, this isn't the Woodford Double Oak. This is the 375 toasted oak four grain that they released from the distillery. And yeah. I love this Woodford Double Oak. That there's no doubt.
This was a distillery only release. And we had to go to the distillery and pick these up.
But, you know, you've got all these categories now, and they're all bourbons, you know, but you've got the double oaks. We covered that just recently. And now you've got the four grains. And what distillers can do with the four grain, Ross Cornelison is welcome, Ross, for good to see you. Cheers. You know, we did pick up that 1792 store pick that we switched out, and we'll be doing a podcast on that. I think there's going to be a podcast on 1792 with sweet wheat, foolproof store picks. We got it all, right? I the only one I don't have is the, is it the, no, I got the 12 year. Do we have the sherry cast? I don't have the PX sherry cast finish. Otherwise, I got everything.
I don't have the Ridgemont Reserve, but I do.
Wait.
1792 Ridgemont Reserve.
What's that?
It's a special bottle I hadn't even opened yet.
Where did you get that?
I found it in Georgia.
And I was in Georgia. You didn't tell me any good stores to go to.
Yeah, well, you didn't call me up and ask me.
Well, put it this way. I was with Roxy. And she's been talking about how I have enough. It's just like every year. Every
called me like right when you were crossing the Florida line.
Yeah.
There's a couple of stores as you come across just within like the first 50 miles into Georgia that is worth stopping at.
Yeah, but I don't think I think that when I was crossing, it was late. And we were trying to get to Hilton Head. It's funny because we went from
Florida. When you're from Florida, when you're coming up from Florida, the Florida Georgia line.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm not talking about the band either.
Well, you're talking about when the right after the last Buc-ee's.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Buc-ee's just needs to sell bourbon. Just imagine if a Buc-ee's sold bourbon. I mean, they would do it right. Buc-ee's and Booker's. Buc-ee's and Baker's. Buc-ee's and Candlestick Makers. There you go. Ross, anyways.
Hey Ross, you think we might see a 1792 four grain?
Well, that would be cool. Yeah, for that sure.
Awesome.
I mean, you're putting them on the spot, but honestly, it's like it needs to be done.
Yeah,
it's not like the sister company doesn't have a four grain. Anyways,
all right.
So I would,
delicious.
Yeah, and so far both of the four grains are delicious. And
he come back with a response. Anything is possible,
especially with a good young distiller that you are. Definitely have. I just, everything I tasted so far with you part of the process, I know that you weren't part of the distilling and all of the aging, but you're part of the process of, you know, getting that taste and the palate and everything that goes into the bottles. And I think this 2024 is going to be a big year for 1792. There's no doubt. It just seems like what we've been tasting has been upped, wouldn't you say?
I would have to agree. Hey, Paul.
It would be cool. Yes. Hey, Paul. Paul's excited about the Bucky.
Yeah. That's my friend, lives down in Texas.
All right. So let's go to, look at you behind. So I've got, when I was at Buffalo Trace the last time, they had Taylor, and I picked up the Taylor. It was when me and, was it us? Me and you were there, and I got this glass. They had Colonel Taylor, or was it me and CT?
That was you and CT. I have never seen that glass before.
Oh, they were offering this rocks glass. It's my new favorite rocks glass, and it is signed by E.H. Colonel Taylor. And this four grain is going to be going.
That's the only one that I have.
I have another rocks glass set with the master distillers, George T. Stagg, Albert Blanton, E.H. Taylor, and Elmer T. Lee.
Right now, Colonel E.H. Taylor, 2017 four grain.
This is
one of my favorite E.H. Taylors.
No problem, Ross. It's like you deserve the kudos. Keep up with the good work. All right. So this is one of my favorite bourbons of all time. Now, the last time I tasted this was on your back deck. So I'm going to put it in here. I'm doing one of those measure pours from this 2 ounce bottle that you get when you have to pay like $900 for a pour, and then they put in a 1 ounce thing and pour it in your glass. And
yeah.
I'm not doing a revival pour. God darn it. That is so delicious. Oh my God. It's got hints of grapes.
Oh,
it's so sweet. I could just, this is like, so there's a few things in my life that I could just smell. One is the cheese powder from Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. If you just open that up and squeeze the air and keep squeezing that in, that just, I could smell that. And then it's Starbucks breakfast blend. I used to take the grounds that were ground up in the package, and I just squeezed the air out. It smelled so much better than what coffee tastes. That just was this, and this is the same thing with bourbon. The nose on this E.H. Taylor. Oh, thank you, my friend. This is an experience.
White grape soda?
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you open up the white grape soda, my gosh, that's just beautiful.
Four grain E.H. Taylor. This is a different level. The nose, at least, is another level. Like I said, we've sipped off this bottle. And
call E.H. Taylor mash bills. This mash bill is undisclosed.
Oh my God.
Matt, it's 100 proof.
I'm sorry, but there's a couple people that were talking about E.H. Taylor online, and they were ripping on the newest one, which is Seasoned Wood. Yeah, they're like, I can't stand that. And then they couldn't stand different ones. And he's like, he didn't like four grain. And I'm like, you cannot like all that you want, but you can't be talking, you know, like somehow you know something, because honestly, the sweetness of this and then the Taylor aspect of it is fantastic. I mean, E.H. Taylor Small Batch is one of my favorite small batch whiskeys there is, because E.H. Taylor Small Batch, to me, defines like Cave Hill. And did you know that Cave Hill is a four grain?
No, I didn't.
It is. I was reading online about the Rabbit Hole Race King and the true four grain of
you know, of Rabbit Hole is Cave Hill. They gave the mash bill of the 40 grain of the 4 grain, and then they're like, yeah, that mash bill is Cave Hill. So Cave Hill is a 4 grain bourbon.
Read a little bit about the C.H. Taylor.
Read away.
E.H. Taylor 4 grain is made from a distinct bourbon recipe using corn, rye, wheat, and malted barley. It was distilled in 2005 and entered into the barrel at 104 proof, according to Buffalo Trace. These are the 4 grains that E.H. Taylor, Colonel E.H. Taylor, would have had access to in the late 1800s, and that is why they were ultimately chosen for this release. In the company's press release, Master Distiller Harlan Wheatley states, "We wanted to extract everything we like from both the rye and the wheat mash bills we currently use and combine them to see how they react. Not surprisingly, it added complexity to the finished product." E.H. Taylor 4 grain is a bottle of bond bourbon to be labeled BIB. The whiskey must be blah, 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 and all that stuff. So that's what Harlan Wheatley had to say about it and why they did this, the E.H. Taylor 4 grain.
One of the things that they're doing, so if that's the case, that E.H. Taylor that they're doing, that they were able to identify the genetic strain of corn that he used, that they're doing at the distillery where they used his fermenter that they dug up in an archaeological dig.
That's what they're doing now.
Yeah, they did it. And when that comes out, it's probably going to be similar to a 4 grain, right? But when you go on the E.H. Taylor, you know, that tour of the, they've got now, I think, 4 fermenters. When I was there, they only had 1, but they've got 4 ferment of the 7 fermenters going. So it's really kind of cool, but they were using everything that he used to make the initial E.H. Taylor, which Brad Bonds has at Revival Spirits. I should have gone down. He opened 1 bottle and he was giving pours. I think it was $75 a pour, but it's from the original batch of E.H. Taylor. He still has more bottles and you can see them there at the shop, but you know, they're not even for sale. You know, he just got them there. They're that good.
Oh, I don't think we're going anytime soon to Kentucky. We're headed to New Orleans, to the New Orleans Whiskey Festival in March 20th through the 24th.
Also, Paul, I might be in Bardstown on March 9th. I'm not exactly sure. March 8th, I've got a barrel pick scheduled, and then March 9th, I might deliver some of our Elijah Craig barrel proof to that area. So if I go down there, I'll let you know. I mean, I'm just saying this is a special pour. It really is. I mean, this is a level of bourbon of the Chicken Cock 15-year barrel strength that Greg released. This is a once-in-a-lifetime pour. And I think you actually have a backup bottle, don't you?
Oh, this is the backup bottle.
Oh, you're drinking the backup bottle?
Yeah, this is the backup bottle.
Oh. If this would be something that I would drink.
I was offered a 2018 in trade, but I didn't want to trade, make that trade. I don't like the 2018 like I do the 2017.
How do you even know?
Because I've tasted it and had it. I had a bottle of the 2018 a long while back. I had the 2017 and I had the 2018.
What was the trade?
wasn't one of my old Rip Van Winkle 10 gears and a 12, a Van Winkle 12 year for it.
Yeah. Which, no. You know, no, the 10 year, I would have sent that sucker packing, but the 12 on top of the 10, no, it's not worth it.
Yeah. And, you know, those bottles, like I say, I can get them.
Maybe I do the 12 and the 10 year for Tornado.
I'd have to taste it. I'd have to have a taste.
I know. I would just send, I've tasted the 10 and the 12. I'd send it back and just to taste the...
I'd have to have a taste of the Tornado before I made that trade, too.
Have you ever even seen a place to taste the Tornado?
Never even seen it out anywhere to, you know, to try it.
I've seen 20 bottles at Justin's House of Bourbon.
Yeah, I have, too, for $25,000 apiece.
Anyways... the words on the street of Texas's 2025 spring will have an E.H. Taylor four-grain release. Well, it would be really cool in 2025 if they have that E.H. Taylor four-grain release. You could get some.
Paul, I've heard that, already heard that they're going to have a new release of the four-grain, too, of the E.H. Taylor. So, because it's been so long since they've had it. And like I say, I think I'm pretty sure that that rumor is correct. So,
you know, and Harlan was involved with this first four grain. He was there at Buffalo Trace for this four when they put that in the barrel.
I just got through reading to you.
Yeah.
That in 2005, that's what they were developing.
Yeah. And when did he take over?
2017 bottling.
You know, it's funny because you go to the distillery and you see Elmer T. Lee and E.H. Taylor and George T. Stagg, you know, and Albert Blanton. And you see them as distillers, those four distillers. And then you think that Harlan Wheatley he's that fifth distiller and he's just starting. I mean, I tasted the Traveler again, and I'm going to tell you, it's still, to me, pretty damn good. Now that bottle's sit. I mean, it's just like, I just can't wait till he actually gets one of his own brands. It's like the Harlan Wheatley bourbon. You know what I mean? What mash bill will that be? He should do like a 7-grain.
So you don't have the Deluxe Rare, do you?
Mm-mm. But I looked at my Casey Jones too, and it wasn't the four grain, it was the weeded. I had the weeded Casey Jones.
The weeded.
Yeah, but let's before we do that last one, let's do Race King. Let's talk about that. Now Race King.
I want a Scordy Brothers Julian Vin.
$300 bottle with the heaviest bottle topper I've ever had.
And we got to meet Cavi when we got this particular bottle. And yes. And it was up for our Bourbon of the Year award the one year. It won and then lost.
If you swear, remember. This bottle topper feels like a pound of gold.
I mean, it's just like, remember when we, do you remember when you opened it?
Mm-hmm.
Who were we with? It was awesome. It's when you got your, it's. Yeah, you got your name. The night you got your name of Super Nass, it's like you just whipped that bottle out. You whipped the bottle out, you know, and that's the first bottle I ever spent $333.27 with that, including tax. And you just whipped the bitch out, and you just were like pouring. I'm like, I could put this. I said, oh, I could put this back. Oh, little did I know that there's no way I could put that back. It's like, what would you say? A quarter of the bottle left.
Still got half.
Yeah, you opened it. You have half.
A lot of dust on the top of it.
Yeah, but this is not something that should be dusty.
Well, considering my collection.
No, this is one of my favorite.
You know, it's like one that, like I say, this is good and it's worth, you know, special pours.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. It's a special pour.
That's where he, Calvin, signed the back of it.
Oh, yeah. Look at, we got both of them up there. Yep. Sign in the back. Yeah, he did for both. And we got to talk to him at the signing, and he knew who we were, and that was really cool. I mean, Kaveh and Joe from Michter's is those, you know, they are a few of the owners, you know, when you get to meet the owners of the distillery. That now this particular,
you got the split screen for this one.
You mean the share screen? No,
share screen.
But I will read off the box because I was reading the box, and you know it's a special bottle. There's no doubt. And when Kavi basically writes. His approach to making spirits is instinctive. It starts with the desire to work with a single ingredient. I then let the grains and wood inspire me to create whiskey unlike any that have come before. That's what I love about crafting fine whiskey. Within the limits of what defines it, there is so much room for creativity. There are also risks, and to do something great, you have to take them. Fear and self-doubt loom throughout the years. It takes to know if those risks paid off. That's what makes the whole process so thrilling. And you talk to Alan all the time, and that's exactly what he's always doing. He's taking those risks. All right. So this one.
Matt, this is, I just wanted to show Matt. This is the Rabbit Hole Founders Collection Race King is what it's called. And it's a 5-4 grain. They call it 5-grain, but it's actually 4 grains using two ryes, a malted rye and a regular rye.
So here it is. Here it is. He went on a unique double. Okay. He said that, okay, whiskey is all about flavor, particularly unadulterated, non-chill filtered expressions. At cask strength, with nothing added and nothing taken away, you taste the essence of how grain, wood, thyme, and terroir come together. With this distinct bourbon, I went all in on a unique double chocolate malt, 5 distinct grains, 3 different types of malts with a double malt combination of chocolate, wheat, and chocolate barley, carefully aged in handmade wood fire toasted and charred barrels. Making fine whiskey is a creative art driven by primal desire to turn a simple grain into gold. Race King was a gamble, but fortunately the payout was outstanding. So what this is it's a corn, a wheat, a corn, a rye, a malted rye, a malted wheat, and a double chocolate malted wheat, and a chocolate malted rye. So he called it 5 grains. But to me, when you talk about a malted rye and a rye, that's just 1 grain. You're just doing different things to it. So this is actually a 4 grain, and that's just the way it is. I mean, malted is basically what they're doing to the grain. They toast it when it germinates. They heat it up and toast it, opposed to when it germinates and they just use the rye, you know, they just pull it at that point and then, you know, start cook it. So a malted, when you malt it, you're toasting. And then a chocolate malted is when you're toasting, it's the level that you're toasting to get those chocolate flavors.
they call it chocolate malted because you take it a little bit further, and I think it's almost like you burn it, right? The nose on this is spectacular. It's just, it's dark chocolate. Flavors.
Yeah.
It's not anything like the Taylor.
Tastes like a chocolate malted milk ball.
Wow. The finish on this is spectacular. So what you're doing is when you're using that extra grain, and then there's a little bit of peanut, like a chocolate peanut. Wow. I mean, a salted chocolate peanut. There's a lot of salt to that end. I mean, but when you add that extra grain, you're adding that extra flavor, causing so many other unique things. And honestly, Kavi basically explained it, that he called this Race King because he took a gamble by doing the double chocolate malt and the chocolate malted rye, the double chocolate malted wheat. Then he uses a malted rye, a rye, and it was a malted barley, a double malted chocolate wheat. And then a malted rye, a rye, and a corn. And it's just like, I haven't ever heard of malted chocolate corn, have you? That would be cool. How do you malt corn? I don't think you can. Well, if you can malt rye, you should be able to malt corn, right?
Yeah, you let the corn sprout.
In its seed germination?
You let it germinate.
Opposed to actually using...
Basically, what they're doing when you let it start to germinate like that is you create, if I'm not mistaken, so you don't have to use yeast. When it starts to germinate like that and then you toast it, that causes your... Oh gosh, the words elude me.
Yeah, except normally they're using corn. I mean, when you use corn, you're actually using it
to turn your sugars and alcohol.
Right.
But you don't have to use yeast.
No, you don't have to. No. Natural yeast. No. You don't have to use enzymes.
Enzymes, yes.
Yeah, don't say yeast. Everything.
I told you the words eluded me.
Yeah. Yeast has to be used no matter what in fermentation so it can shit the alcohol. That's what it does. Eats the sugars, shits the alcohol. But as far as the fermentation, but as far as the enzymes to break down those sugar chains, that's where the barley comes in and the malted barley and whatnot. But when you double chocolate malt it, you're adding flavor to the barley that isn't usually in there. You know what I mean? So anyways, Race King is...
No, sir, Paul. I haven't tried the Ben Holiday soft wheat yet.
Yeah, we need a sample of that. There's a lot of stuff we haven't tried. We try and cover categories and different bourbons, and there's always a surprise. I mean, what was it? Johnny Fever. That's a 4-grain. And I should find my Johnny Fever because I was looking, because we should finish up with you finishing up with the Lux Row, and I finish up with the Johnny Fever 4-grain.
Wow. Paul said he's going to send it over to me. Samples, yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Pretty cool. Thanks, Paul. We'll definitely, I'll definitely send him send him one up to him, and then we'll have to try it out and let you know.
Oh, there it is. I'm going to have to take off the mic, the headphones real quick. And
right. Lux Row Distilleries.
So you have Lux Row.
You know, I went to looking back there, and I had actually gotten two bottles of this and hadn't even cracked them yet.
Well, thanks for sending me one my way.
I think that's what I probably was supposed to do.
And so,
but I found these back on my shelf.
Look at this.
And the shelves in there. Johnny Fever. Look at there.
You see what it says?
Four grain, yeah. Straight.
Yeah. Bourbon. So without even knowing, we were going to do this four grain, I was able to pick up a bottle. I mean, this is, you're doing the Lux Row.
Lux Row, four grain mash bill, double single barrel.
And I'm going to do, you go ahead, read away.
Here we go. And it is 150. Oh my goodness! Let me look here. Make sure I'm reading this correctly. It is 114. It's 115 proof. Yeah, 115 proof. Wheated barrel. Number 8119674 and a rye barrel was filled. The wheated barrel was filled 8/14/18, and the rye barrel was filled on 7/11/18. Both of them aged a minimum of 4 years. That's what I got.
Put her in your glass. So I have Johnny Fever. Johnny Fever is courtesy of Super Nash. Not from the bottle, but telling me about the Burnt Church Distillery. So, and we were on our way down to South Carolina. Florida. We were on the way down to see my mom and dad. Normally, the last time we went down, it was stop off at Super Nash's for a afternoon at his house, but this time I had to get to my mom and dad's on Saturday, left on Friday night, drove all day Saturday, got there at 7 o'clock, and he's like, you need to stop at Burnt Church. So we're like, well, we're just balls to the wall, we're gonna get to my mom and dad's because I got to be there rested up, and the Super Bowl was Sunday. But on the way back, we had a change of plans on where we were gonna stay, and we ended up staying at Hilton Head, and he's like, that's really close to the Burnt Church. You should stop in. So we stopped in, me and Roxy. We did a flight. And quite frankly, they had a flight that was 7 years. They had a 7-year-old bourbon called Confession, but that was distilled by their distiller at Green River. But if you say Green River in 7 years, that's not possible. It was actually Ozzie Tyler. And then they had the Johnny Fever, which is their 5-year-old straight bourbon 4-grain whiskey. And then they had also, if you remember, you tell me the one that the one that they do the bourbon, the girls.
Anita's Choice.
Whose Choice?
Anita's Choice.
Yeah, Anita's Choice. And that was delicious. That was their own. And they use rice as one of the grains. And then in Johnny Fever, the straight bourbon 4-grain whiskey, I was impressed. So I ended up walking out with a bottle of Anita's Choice and the Johnny Fever 4-grain whiskey, not really realizing that we were doing a 4-grain podcast, even though we had just talked about it. So thank you for sending me there. And it is everything that you want. And it's obviously, it's theirs. It's pot stilled. They got a pot still with they don't got a thumper. They got a doubler, a column still doubler. And
this is just a little spicy and very fruity, and also just a little bit floral on the finish.
Mine finishes with like
like summer fruits, grapes and plums. It's got just that slight little floral note on the finish, honeysuckle or jasmine.
I will say that I do like this bourbon, Johnny Fever, but it's almost unfair to compare this bourbon to Colonel Taylor, we just tasted. So I
what kind of four grains do they use? Does it say what four grains they use on that Johnny Fever?
I want to say that the rice was in there. I think it was. Let's see. Well, one of the things. Oh, that was not good. The bottle's amazing. This topper is right up there. If you look, it's got the cork with the inlay. See that? Yeah. And the weight is like, it looks, it's the top of a bullet. You see that?
Oh, yeah. Like a shotgun shell.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
I will. Let's see.
All right. Cheers, brother. We're tasting on four grain bourbons. Everything from E.H. Taylor 4-grain to Lux Row 4-grain mash bill, Woodford Reserve Toasted Oak 4-grain, Lee W. Sinclair 4-grain. Everything 4-grain tonight, Dario.
All right. We got a Johnny Fever. Let's see what we get. Yes. Story Spirits. I know how to get there because I use this. All right, there they are, Johnny Fever. I'll give you the lowdown of the hoedown. All right, there it is. Okay, here we go. Johnny Fever bourbon was created. Oh, specs 1500 grains. All right, here's the grains: corn, rye, malted barley, and wheat. There's your grains. Johnny Fever bourbon whiskey was created in homage to a man who made a very special impact on our co-founder, Billy Watterson. I met Billy. A fitting tribute to someone who loved pheasant hunting, good bourbon, a family most of all. It's the perfect bourbon to taste and savor, commemorating the past and toasting to the future. So
now you know why that topper is like a shotgun shell.
Yep. And honestly, this is what you get. This is what you get from Birch Church. I mean, honestly, you would say that Johnny's probably passed on, you know, based off of that. But you got the shotgun shell. You have it named after him, and you have a really good bourbon in the bottle. So, you know, cheers to Johnny Fever. Cheers to co-founder Billy Watterson and what they're doing at Burn Church. Everything that they're doing right. And, you know, when you can be 5 years old and be producing something, I'm sure Alan Bishop will attest to this, going out and doing experiments and trying to figure out how to do things with multiple grain. I believe Anita's choice was 6-grain, right?
Yeah, Anita's choice was 6-grain, and that's why we didn't have it on the podcast tonight.
Because we're just going with 4. So the Lux Row double barrel. It was a double. It's a 4-grain double barrel.
Single barrel.
Yes, and it was blended between a wheated single barrel and
a rye barrel.
Right. So what did you think of that?
Very good. I was telling everybody all about it.
Yeah. I heard. But I mean, it's.
You were talking. You didn't hear anything.
No, I heard it all. You read what it was. You know, and
it's really good. Like I said, it's really smooth and caramel. up front, just real light bacon spice and real fruity, real sweet and fruity, and just that light floral finish, like jasmine or honeysuckle on the finish. Very good.
Well, so let's summarize four grain. You know, when you add that extra grain, I would say all four of these get away from, even though, you know, Woodford is a big Kentucky bourbon and Rabbit Hole's out of Kentucky, that you get away from that classic caramel, you know, flavor that you
bacon spice.
Right, yeah. Right.
I think it's adding an extra level of flavor to the profile.
Yeah.
What
do you
say?
But well, like for instance, the Race King.
Not just an extra level, but a whole lot more.
Yeah, a complexity. The finishes are completely different than what you get out of a big, you know, the normal Kentucky three grain bourbons. It's not like a Wheater, and it's not like a rye bourbon or a high rye bourbon. I will say it definitely mellows because there wasn't one that tasted that had that pepper or that spice or, you know, the jalapeno aspect. You know, they all were all about flavor.
Had the cinnamon or the pepper. I believe that adding that fourth grain, like the wheat, to it softens those peppers and the cinnamons. It softens them down.
Yeah.
And it actually heightens the flavors. And then like the ones with the oat in it had the oaks, like the Lee W. Sinclair. I think adding that grain to it did the same thing.
Yeah. And the difference between, you know, the actual Sinclair Bottled in Bond flavor profile to the Iconoclast, where you added that whole cinnamon, brown sugar, vanilla, you know, almost like a cinnamon bun from Cinnabon, you know what I mean? Flavor in there off of a three barrel opposed to a larger, you know, blend to profile what, you know, what Alan's been trying to do. So, yeah, definitely. So, all right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, right. Pretty cool. So remember, we're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. I'm Tiny.
I'm Super Nash.
And we are
the Scotchy Bourbon Boys.
Yep. And we love to, you know, go over whiskey, talk whiskey. I will like to say that what's coming up in March, we are getting close, is that, so it's really kind of cool. OHLQ went over to Ireland and did a huge amount of Irish barrel picks, something that hasn't been done before. And this is really cool. So there is a chance. So we are going on March 3rd. I'm going to be up in Cleveland on the March 2nd with Matt. I should be able to see Matt up in Cleveland in the Streetsboro Giant Eagle. So anybody in Ohio that wants to check it out, meet us up there. You'll have Whiskey on the Rocks and the Scotchy Bourbon Boys represented up there. But also Fred Minnick is going to be up there too. But the really cool part is that on Sunday, March 3rd, I believe between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, we will be podcasting from Burns Irish Pub in Columbus with Martin Kennedy and Pat Burns to promote their BUA, Irish whiskey release, single barrel released to Ohio that was picked. And that is actually Pat and Martin Kennedy's actual Irish whiskey that's from Ohio. It's an Ohio. It's released out of Ohio. So the story is unique and it'll be told on Sunday, March 3rd. But then we are going to go to the 12 o'clock release again of all the single barrels of Irish whiskey. We're going to be able to meet all the distillers, and also Fred Minnick's going to be at the Columbus release. So I did invite him to be on the podcast in the morning with us at Burns Irish Pub. So that's what's coming up. The month of March looks like that we are going to cover some Irish whiskey. So the goal is, Nash, we got to get you some.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's going to be.
I do have some Jameson in there, but.
Yeah, Jameson did a release also.
HLQ. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to pick some of that up. And then also.
Send it down my way.
Yes. And then also, we are going to be doing a barrel pick with the Kentucky Bourbon Festival coming up. And then also, we are going to be going down to Starlight to promote Ohio and be on the Ohio Starlight pick for the state of Ohio coming up in those two picks will be in April and May. So excited about that.
Spirits of French Lick, you still going there?
There is a pick down there that I might participate in. So we'll see what happens there. One of the cool things is Alan Bishop has some stuff out down there that we may be picking. So that's coming up in the near future, right? All right. www.scotchybourbonboys.com. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. And
did I mention
yes? So there's a lot on the horizon for us here at the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And then also remember, we're on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. Make sure, remember, we've put out there that if you become a member, we have 13,300 subscribers. But if you become a member of one of the three levels, or all of them, but the first member of each level is going to be rewarded. So make sure you check that out, for YouTube. And then also we're on all the major podcast formats, Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Twitch. I mean,
I can say right now that Super Nash is definitely going to donate a bottle to those first members. So,
yeah, check that out. We're going to be having, there'll be some Glencairns. There'll be a bunch of stuff. You're going to be, like I said, it's going to be kind of like a bourbon 4th of July.
No, it'll be like a bourbon Christmas in March or. Whenever it happens.
All right, everybody, remember, we're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Good bourbon equals good times and good friends. Make sure you drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive, and go out there and live your life
dangerously.
Little Stevo,
live your life, man.
Yep. Little Steve-O's going to take us out.
All right. Hey, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in and giving us your time. And if you get a chance,
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.